The year was 1976, and Boston, the nation's birthplace, was celebrating the American bicentennial with paeans to liberty, equality, and justice. But the city that spawned the abolition and women's rights movements was riven by racial division. The image of Boston that flashed around the world that year was a photograph of a black man being assaulted by an angry young white man using as a spear a staff with an American flag on it. The scene of a young black man beaten and bloodied, his nose badly broken, came to define a predominantly white city's raw and violent response to court-ordered busing to achieve school integration. Then-Mayor Kevin White would later say the city was having a nervous breakdown. Boston got through the busing crisis. In the years since, this cradle of American liberty has evolved into a city of ethnic and racial tolerance and one of the world's foremost centers of technological, medical, and economic innovation. A city shaped by its immigrant past today draws the young and ambitious from around the world. Now this most beautiful, historic, and learned of American cities is recovering from a stiletto to its heart, the carnage and senseless death spewed from two bombings at the finish line of the Boston Marathon, an annual spring rite, world-class athletic event, and glorious civic celebration wrapped in one joyous holiday. Boston's story is familiar to school children. It was founded by religious dissenters seeking refuge from an English monarchy that refused to allow the ideals of the Protestant Reformation to flourish. From the beginning, these Puritans cared deeply about government and the common weal. Governor John Winthrop said famously that the common good would trump individual or private interests. It would be a culture that would, quote, neither exalt the rich nor degrade the poor. Boston has never been a place with a frontier sense of individualism. By the 19th century, the city evolved into a center of learning and political and social activism. The movement to abolish slavery began among the Unitarian and Congregational ministers. Women's rights, liberal Protestantism, civil disobedience, environmental conservation, and the philosophical movement known as Transcendentalism all sprouted from Boston roots. Along the way, Boston grew to love its civic celebrations, ethnic festivals, and sports teams. Thousands flocked to the streets for its big New Year's Eve celebrations, the annual Boston Symphony Orchestra July 4th concert on the Esplanade, the florid St. Patrick's Day parades in Southie, the duck boat rallies for the Patriots, Celtics, Bruins, and Red Sox when they win championships. And of course, the marathon, that lovely celebration of amateur striving and world-class athleticism. We are startled by the randomness of the terror. There isn't any way that the free society we honor on Patriots Day can police an event such as the marathon in a manner that preserves its traditions and ensures no criminal acts. This applies to such other iconic New England events as the Bristol 4th Parade, the Newport Jazz Festival, and Bay Day at the Rhode Island beaches. New England's most storied city will move on, as Dennis Lehane, a son of Boston, the city that has inspired his writing, put it, "Whoever set those bombs messed with the wrong city." What others see as insular New England smugness, we know is the attitude that has made the city flourish through wars and depression, the immigration of people from around the globe, and massive changes in the economy. Bostonians don't love easy things, they love hard things. Blizzards, the beachers at Fenway Park, a good brawl over a contested parking space, says Lehane. What a Bostonian means when he says they mess with the wrong city is, you don't think this changes anything, do you? This was the sentiment expressed by President Obama at Thursday's interfaith service at the Cathedral of the Holy Cross. The president said, when the Red Sox, the Celtics, the Patriots, the Bruins are champions again, to the chagrin of New York and Chicago fans, the crowds will gather and watch a parade go down Boylston Street, said the president. And this time next year, on the third Monday in April, the world will return to this great American city to run harder than ever and cheer even louder for the 118th Boston Marathon.